Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners, tonight we live from Masjid al-Salam in Lodium. We have a very honored guest, Rabbani Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Patel, Dawud Barakatum, the younger brother of Maulana Yunus Patel, rahimahullah. He's speaking on father and son relationship, children-parent relationship, both from the aspect of Ibrahim alayhi salam as a father and Ismail alayhi salam as a son, inshallah. We go now live. Mawlana Muhammad Musa is our MC. He will be introducing Mawlana, inshallah, and after that, we will take Mawlana live from Masjid al-Salam in Lodium, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Very, very well, alhamdulillah. Respected elders and brothers, we're very fortunate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the tawfiq and the ability to come to His house, to be a guest in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a great honor. And then furthermore, Allah gave us tawfiq to sit here in such a gathering which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described as Sahaba Ikram, a gathering which the malaika surround, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descends, and at the end of such gatherings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces maghfirat, forgiveness, and not just forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so generous, Allah ta'ala changes over our sins into good deeds. So sitting in the masjid on a Mubarak night like Thursday night, listening to the remembrance and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the advices imparted from the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are very fortunate. We have Azamana Ilyas Patel, Tama Barakatuhum, who is rather the brother of our Mazama Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who is very famous in our country, very, very well known, a great sheikh, a great scholar, a great friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Manana is the brother of Mazama Yunus Rahmatullah Ali. Manana is currently teaching at Madrasa Ta'alimuddin, one of the Asatidah at Madrasa Ta'alimuddin, which is not very close by to Lodium. He has taken up the difficulty and the trouble to come down to our town by our request, and he'll be sharing and imparting great advices to us. We ask one and all to inshallah sit with an attentive ear and sit with the intention of making amal, and at the same time ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability and the tawfiq to make amal on whatever has been said. We call upon Azamana Ilyas Sahib.
الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. First and foremost, one very simple, humble request that in emulation of the way of the sahaba ikram, those who may not need the wall, etc., humble request to come forward and join the gathering as the Sahaba Ikram used to sit in one gathering with all together. Very humble request, Jazakumullah khair. The topic that we have been given for tonight is related to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as a father, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam as a son. This comes down to the topic of parenting, and parenting is a lifelong responsibility, and the relationship between father and son is lifelong also, as long as they are in dunya. So this topic is something that needs lifelong discussion. But inshallah, that is not the intention, though sometimes a 1 hour bayan also feels like a lifelong talk that has taken place. But our object is just to discuss some aspects which inshallah, for the fazal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, may become some kind of inspiration for us, some direction in terms of how we are supposed to be fulfilling our responsibility as fathers, as parents, how we are supposed to be conducting ourselves as sons. And really, this is something that we can only learn from the personalities that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent down with this guidance and hidayat. And they are the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Often people try to take these kind of lessons or the guidance in these aspects of life from Western literature, from things that just some doctor so and so might have written from a Western perspective. But really, those things cannot guide us. Those who have iman in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, those who have Jannat as their direction, those who their primary purpose in life is the obedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and earning His pleasure, then we can't take anything and learn anything from there. What we will get is all in the Quran Sharif, in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from the lives of the Ahlullah, and coming all the way from top, from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. And hence, today we have the discussion of the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. He is that personality who enjoys that great accolade that in the Quran Sharif, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. That we then reveal this to you, that you also follow that line of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, his way, his creed. Obviously the Shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is final. And there's no salvation without following that final book of Allah Ta'ala, the Quran Sharif, and the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala gave Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this instruction that you also follow that principles that we gave Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam. So this is in every aspect, and in particular, how, what we are talking about today is how he lived as a father. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala describes him in the Quran Sharif, the ayat of the Quran that was recited, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was an ummah. Now the word ummah is a nation. One man, a nation. Can one man be a nation? Mufassirin explained that what is referred to here as an ummah, that he had reached perfection fi jami'i sifatil khair, in all the good qualities, all the noble qualities. It was like a whole nation put in one man. All the various good qualities were all to the level of perfection in this one person. Sometimes you'll find somebody excelling in one thing, but not necessarily excelling to the same extent in other aspects. Somebody is very generous, but he may not necessarily be that much of a abid and a reciter of the Quran Sharif to that extent. Somebody recites the Quran Sharif whole night, but he may not necessarily be somebody who is in the forefront of serving mankind. And somebody is very ahead in terms of being of assistance to the people who are in need, but somehow he is not able to do many things that others do. Here is one man with all the good qualities of everybody infused in one person. But what we learn from this also is that while perfection, and perfection is something we can never ever claim, our whole life will finish off, we will never be able to claim perfection. But Ibrahim salatu wasalam, as one single human being, is being called an ummah because he encompassed all the good qualities. The lesson for us is that we too have to make an effort to encompass all the good qualities. Our whole life will go away in trying to improve in them. But it is not that we take some and leave some. That a person feels, well, I perform my salah regularly 5 times a day, So if I don't fulfill the aspects of muasharat and social life and treat my parents or my wife, my children in a correct way or in the best way, so it doesn't really matter because I'm performing my 5 times salah with jama'ah. Indeed, obviously, there's no real piety of any sort without salah being performed correctly. But in the same way, muasharat and social life is a part of deen and a very important part of deen. Somebody is very good at home and he is perhaps performing his salah also. But if it comes to his business life, then he feels, well, it's not that serious. My business is my business, nobody else's business. Why should somebody else mind my business? But deen has given us directives of how to conduct that business also. So just as a person is required to be fulfilling his salah, he is supposed to be fulfilling all the ahkam of Allah Ta'ala in terms of his business. He is supposed to be fulfilling all the requirements of deen in terms of his social life, in terms of his akhlaq and character. So this is the lesson we get from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that he encompassed all these great qualities. In terms of being a father, there are many, many things, but there are some very salient aspects that we learn from the Quran Sharif about how he conducted himself as a father. The first aspect that we learn from the Quran Sharif is the concern for one's offspring. But Ibrahim ﷺ is a great Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is Khalilullah. And Allah ta'ala is giving him this great title. Allah ta'ala says, Inni ja'iluka linnasi imama. That now we are going to make you a leader for people. Leader not in the sense of dunya. That way, a person who is purely motivated by dunya to become a leader, then his only desire is how to fill his pocket and how to get that power and how to get various things of dunya. Not leadership in that regard. But to become a true example to people and lead them towards Jannah. Now, this is a great thing. Somebody becomes a leader for people to go towards Jannah. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, what is his response? His immediate response, Qala wa min zurriyati. Ya Allah, even from my progeny also, Ya Allah, make some leaders towards Jannah out of my progeny as well. And what a dua he made and how Allah Ta'ala accepted it, that in his progeny came all the Anbiya of the Bani Israel, and then in his progeny came Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the lesson we learn is that immediate concern. Allah, what about my progeny? What about my offspring? Make them leaders also for deen. Leaders towards Jannah. So the lesson in this is concern. This is step one. When he's concerned for something, person then that concern drives him. That concern then moves him. We all have concern, no doubt. We have concern in terms of deen also. We have concern for the dunya of our children also. The only issue is that what is given the greater prominence in our lives, which concern is of a greater concern to us. Every parent is concerned his child must get a good pass in school, he must do well in matric, he must get a good career. So, whatever is within the limits of deen, no problem with that. But the greater concern is for the deen of that child. So the first thing is this concern. And in this concern, what is very important is that this is a primary concern. The tarbiyat of one's children is a primary concern. It is not a secondary concern. Often, the primary concern is the comfort of the child, that he must have the best, whatever money can buy. And tarbiyat will take place by the way. It's the other way around. Tarbiyat and the nurturing of the children in a proper Islamic manner is the primary concern. And what is tarbiyat? Just to digress a little bit on this, we hear this word, tarbiyat. One is ta'lim. Ta'lim means to impart knowledge. So we will impart knowledge to our children, the knowledge of salah, for example, salah is first 5 times a day, and then the knowledge of how to perform that salah also, either we'll do it ourselves, or we'll send the child to madrasa. The child will be given the knowledge of zakat is compulsory, that fasting in the month of Ramadan is compulsory, the child will be given the knowledge of akhlaq perhaps, whatever else in deen, that is ta'aleem, and that is fundamentally important also. But from ta'aleem comes the very important part of tarbiyat. And tarbiyat is to make this ta'aleem a part of this child's life. So the child was taught that salah is compulsory. But with that ta'aleem alone, it's not going to become part of his life. Now tarbiyat will have to take place lifelong sometimes. But the child will be advised, father will take him along to the masjid, or the little girl, her mother will make her stand alongside, come, performing salah, you also make your salah. The importance of salah will be repeatedly brought to the attention of the child. There will be various ways to entice that little child to start performing his salah. There will be ways of encouraging him, sometimes ways of making him feel afraid of missing his salah. And when this will go on, a time will come in this child's life when, just as at probably one time in his early days, it was very difficult for him to maybe perform his salah. A time will come when it will become very difficult for him to miss his salah. It will be a huge mountain if he missed it even by mistake. Now this will happen when tarbiyat has taken place. So one is ta'aleem, the ta'aleem of honesty. But then there's the tarbiyat of honesty. How do you be honest? One is the ta'aleem of good character and akhlaq. But then there's the tarbiyat of good akhlaq. The child is being put through that training, through incidents. Look, what you did, this was not the right way to go about it. This is how you go about it. This incident, look at this incident of this sahabi. Look how he conducted himself. Or look at this great pious personality, how he conducted himself. This is called akhlaq. Now repeatedly, day in and day out, something or the other of good character, good akhlaq, of the sahaba, of the pious predecessors, of somebody in our community, is being brought to the attention of this child in various ways. Now tarbiyat is taking place. And the time will come when this child now will absorb this. He will imbibe it. And he will start living it. So Ibrahim is showing the concern and he is giving us this direction that we must have this concern. The very important thing in this concern is that this is not something that can be delegated to somebody else. Often, upbringing of children gets delegated. And sometimes it even gets delegated to some commercial upbringing. Somebody somewhere is getting paid to look after the child the whole day. So it's commercial upbringing. Commercial upbringing is going to bring up commercialized children. That child, for whatever it is, dunya is going to be everything in his life. So, upbringing of children is the responsibility of parents. The maktab, the madrasa, whatever other efforts of deen will be taking place, is all to support this. It's supplementary things. But the primary responsibility of the parent, to bring the child up in a way that he becomes a true ambassador of deen. Then this is a joint responsibility. Often what happens is that fathers delegate it to the mothers. And the child does something good, when he performs excellently somewhere, when he does something very well, father says, see my son. And then when there's a complaint, he says to his wife, you see what your son is up to. So now there was the praise, he packed his own chest, my son, you saw my son, how he... MashaAllah, excellent. And then when the son did something haywire, you see what your son is up to. But it is the responsibility of both. Both parents have to be united in this responsibility. And have to be committed to it in a way that does not confuse the child. One is pulling in one direction, the other is pulling in another direction. The child is torn between the two. And in that confusion, he does his own thing then. So there has to be one direction, and that direction is only possible to take it from the Quran Sharif, from the Ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from in the guidance of our ulama ikram. Ask them what is that direction, and we take it accordingly. Otherwise, sometimes the infighting of parents makes it a very major issue in the heart and mind of the child. It becomes a real dilemma for him, and this confusion sometimes leads him to various things which are totally irresponsible, wrong. But this is often the root. So we need to be having one direction. So Ibrahim salatu wasalam, he is showing this concern. This concern Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us in the Quran Sharif as well. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, protect and safeguard yourselves and your families from the fire of Jahannam. So this is our concern. This is something that we have to be very, very alert in regard to the tarbiyat of our children and make sure that they are given the right upbringing. Then to take it to the next point, Ibrahim salatu wasalam teaches us by means of one dua that what is meant to be the aspirations for our children. Every parent has many aspirations. Ibrahim salatu wasalam was instructed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, ordered by Allah ta'ala to go and leave his wife and child in a barren place. The incident we know very well. So he goes, leaves them. Lengthy incident, just to take the point that you want to make. Any case, he then leaves them there and he starts returning. But as soon as he's out of sight, he then turns to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in dua. And what is the dua he makes? رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. Prophet Muhammad wasalam, he is making dua to Allah Ta'ala, and he starts off by saying, Ya Allah, I kept my family, left them behind on your order in this barren place. Why? The first thing, Ya Allah, رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, so that they may establish salah in their lives. Now the first aspiration of a parent is the deen of the child. My child must grow up as a good Muslim. And the most fundamental part of deen is salah. So that salah must be part and parcel of his life. And on the other side, we are talking about parent and child. Many times children, youngsters, and parents are guiding them towards various aspects of deen, towards salah, towards other things. Sometimes it seems like a very burdensome thing. It might seem like my father has got no other job but to sit on my head. But this guidance that we get from our parents, this is something that is taking us towards Jannat. It might seem burdensome now, but we will only appreciate it the day we are parents ourselves. The day when we have to have this responsibility on our shoulders, then we will appreciate what our parents did for us in terms of guiding us towards deen. So in any case, Ibrahim salatu wasalam, the first thing is the concern for the salah of his children. And this is something that we have to, obviously without, there's no two ways about it, we have to show the highest importance to salah in our lives, in the lives of our children. Ismail salatu wasalam, great Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, the Quran Sharif speaks about him also. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. Ismail salatu wasalam, great Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِسْفَلَاتِ وَزْدَكَةِ. This was his constant thing also, that he used to be instructing his family to be constant on their salah and discharge their zakat. وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ. He used to keep reminding, keep instructing them. A great Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, and he is repeatedly reminding his family, his children about salah. And many a times parents say, but I find it very difficult to tell my son about salah. Ismail salatu wasalam, Ibrahim salatu wasalam, great Anbiya of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith it is mentioned, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she is now married, and she is going to live with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha. After she got married also, for 6 months. Nabi Islam would pass by her house at the time of Fajr. And he would shout, As-salah, ya ahl al-bayt. As-salah, ya ahl al-bayt. Oh, people of the household, it's time for salah now. For 6 months after she got married, she's now living with her husband. Nabi Islam is still passing by the house and he is giving this reminder of salah. And to who? To the Queen of Jannah. Can we imagine that she will miss her salah? But this reminder was a lesson for us. That this is something we cannot cut any corners in. We have to, in a good way, in a proper way, establish salah in our lives, establish salah in the lives of our children. This is a fundamental responsibility of every parent, that salah must come alive in our children. Nabi Islam says, Muru awladakum bis salah, wa hum abna'u sab'in. That when your child is 7 years old, command him to perform salah, teach him, take him along to the masjid if it's a boy. The girl, the mother should start making her perform salah alongside. And when the child has reached 10 years of age, now if he misses the salah, then punish him. Appropriately, what is appropriate punishment for that kind of situation, for that age of child? But this is the emphasis on salah. So by the time he is of age, salah is a part and parcel of his life. So this is the aspect that first thing he made dua for, رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. This is the aspiration. Then, فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Ya Allah, you make them beloved to people. Make the hearts of everyone inclined towards them. This too is something not for the sake of dunya, but just to get safe from any kind of difficulties of dunya also. And if a person is well liked among people, then inshallah people won't unnecessarily give him difficulties. But together with that this becomes a support in deen, that the right people are the companions of the person, good company he has. And then he makes dua, وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. Allah, you bless them with the fruits, let it come from wherever it is. Now he is making dua in a barren place. He could have made dua, ya Allah, make this place fertile. He didn't make dua, ya Allah, make it fertile. Allah, you bring the fruit from wherever it is to them. And this is the barakat of the dua of Ibrahim a.s. to this day. The best fruit of our country, which we won't see here, we'll see in Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. And from any part of the world, the export quality, the best fruit, which maybe somebody or the other might get their hands on it, otherwise it's all exported. You'll find it in Makkah Sharif. This is the dua of Ibrahim a.s. That he made dua, ya Allah, you bring dunya to them. He didn't make dua, ya Allah, you get them immersed in dunya. Ya Allah, you make them move way ahead in dunya. To earn the dunya is not haram. In fact, this is something which Nabi Islam has given such virtues for the honest trader, which is truly amazing and astounding. At-tajiru as-saduqul amin. That business person, that trader, who is honest and who is truthful, then he will, provided obviously he is fulfilling all his obligations of deen together with that. His salah is obviously fundamental, other aspects of deen. But together with that, he is honest and truthful in his business, he will be raised with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam on the day of Qiyamah. With the Siddiqeen, with the Shuhada, with the Saliheen. Subhanallah. What an amazing thing. But Ibrahim salatu wasalam is teaching us that primarily the aspiration must be deen, not dunya. Dunya will come, somebody is meant to be in business, he'll be in business. Somebody is meant to be in a profession, he'll be in a profession. Somebody is meant to be in some trade, he'll be in some trade. Somebody is in some skill, he'll be in that skill. Whatever it is, he'll carry on. But primarily it's deen. So whatever a person is involved in, he's involved in business, he's involved in some profession, he'll be fulfilling his obligations of deen first. And in whichever field of life he is, he will be an ambassador of deen. His profession, his business, his trade, everything will become a means of da'wah towards deen. In the manner that he will conduct himself. In the manner that he will trade with people. Entire countries came into Islam due to how the businessmen of the time, the few Muslim businessmen who settled there, how they traded and conducted themselves. So Ibrahim Salaam is teaching us the same lesson and message, that primarily deen is the aspiration. And dunya must put in the framework of deen. Then the dunya will also become deen. And then finally he says, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. Allah, you give them this dunya, thamarat. This is not fruits that is restricted only to the fruit that is eaten. The thamarat is every need. Whatever is required, wherever it might be, is required here, it will come from wherever it is. And you find that anything that is required is available there. Millions of hujjaj will be there, and every day so many things are being consumed, but there's never a shortage. This is the barakat of the dua of Ibrahim Salatu Wasalam. And then he says, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. Ya Allah, they will need this dunya. In order to sail through this world, they will need water. That ship cannot sail on dry land. It will need water. So that dunya, the wealth of the world, is the water. But this ship will sail on the water. If this water comes into the ship, it will sink it. So he is making this dua, Ya Allah, you give them this water. But لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ, so that they be grateful to you. That this dunya also must become deen. It must bring them to you. Because the person who is truly grateful to Allah Ta'ala, that shukr is not just verbal shukr. That shukr is verbal shukr also. That shukr is practical shukr, total obedience to Allah Ta'ala. This is yashkurun. So this is the second very great lesson Ibrahim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us, that the primary aspiration of a parent is deen. The aspiration for his children is that they must become good Muslims, true Muslims. Then they will become an asset to the parents first and foremost. When that child has deen in his life, then he will know what it is to make khidmat of one's parents. Then he will understand that Jannat lies under the feet of the mother. Then he will understand that the father is the door to Jannat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you either look after it or break it. But he will understand that when there's deen in his life. Otherwise, Allah forbid, recently there was one shundul somewhere around Durban, and it was a Friday or something, and in any case, the son who had, or the person who was supposed to have been having all the documents that were necessary and whatever else, he was somewhere far away. He was on some couple of hundred kilometers away. They phoned him, told him what happened, please come quickly. So now he at that time was involved in some very important meeting, business meeting. And he found it difficult to leave everything and rush quickly. So his spontaneous response, when he was told, your father has passed away, now please come quickly, we need this and that and the other. So his spontaneous response, Allah Ta'ala save us and protect us, let the bali wait, he said. Now this is the response. There's two sides to this. And maybe this is the point to just digress a little bit again. That this whole dunya is a test. And everybody is in a test. The parents are in a test. The children are in a test. Everybody is being tested. Sometimes the parents are, mashallah, fulfilling whatever they responsibilities. They are doing whatever is in their capacity. And after doing whatever is in their capacity, sometimes it still happens that despite doing all that they could, but things didn't work out in terms of how that child grew up and what happened. Obviously this is beyond their control then. They've done whatever they could. They will inshallah be absolved because they made their full utmost effort. But sometimes there's another scene, there's another situation. That parents didn't give their children the right direction. They put their children only in dunya. And deen was left to him. He wants to do it, he must do it. He wants to go perform his salah, he's a big enough person. He's now adult, he must worry about himself. But when he decided not to go to work, not to go to university, not to go to his business, then we didn't say he's an adult left to him. Then we didn't say it's his life. End result sometimes becomes this. Sometimes, now the other side of it, sometimes unfortunately parents don't fulfill their responsibility. And they go the other way around. Many a times youngsters This is, I'm talking about back home, where we repeatedly get these kind of things coming up. A young person will be discussing things and will be talking about how he's cheated by his parents, whatever else. So the very important thing to remember here is, especially to my young friends, that no matter what a parent does, no matter how one's father or mother may conduct themselves, how they may treat him, what they may do, that is their matter with Allah Ta'ala. They will be accountable to Allah Ta'ala. But how we as children respond to them, that will be something we will be responsible for. Our response will either make us, or our response will break us, even if that parent is wrong. If the parent is wrong, and we responded in a disrespectful manner, that will break us. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. That if somebody's parents are mushrikeen, idol worshippers, so as long as a person is in a state of shirk, he's furthest away from Allah Ta'ala. And if he dies on shirk, then he's perpetually doomed to Jahannam. Now if somebody is in shirk, their parents are in shirk, and they are now insisting upon that child, that son, for example, to commit shirk also. You give up your Islam, give up your deen. Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Look, that is out of the question. لَا تَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْسِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. You cannot obey the creation when this involves disobeying the Creator. Allah Ta'ala's obedience is supreme. But in the same vein, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala, don't obey them in that. So, by extension, anything that is a wrong command, something the parents are instructing to do, which is against deen, you can't do that. But in the same breath, Allah Ta'ala says, وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. You treat them kindly in the world. Even those mushrik parents who are insisting that you must give up your Islam, don't give up your Islam, but you still be kind to them. And even those parents, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفِّوْ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Don't even say uff to them. Don't rebuke them. Speak kindly to them. That applies even to those parents. So what will be the case with regards to parents who are mu'mineen, believers? So if parents sometimes do some things which are out of line, that is their matter with Allah Ta'ala. We can't condone something that is wrong. Something wrong is wrong. But their wrong won't justify our wrong. If they've done something wrong, we still have to fulfill our test. We still have to pass our test. And they have to pass their test. If the child has been behaving in a certain way, the parent also has to function within the limits of deen, of how he goes about resolving the situation. So this is something to always bear in mind, that everyone has to pass their test. The children have to pass their test, the parents have to pass their test. Nevertheless, coming back to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the third lesson, very important lesson that he teaches us, is the lesson of dua. Dua for our children. Now if we really consider and think that today, how many of us made dua for our children? Yesterday, for the whole week, many would have, alhamdulillah. But did everybody make dua for our children? And how many times we make dua for our children? This is something we learn from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the great Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. He's making dua for his children. رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنَوْا وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Ya Allah, make this place a place of sukoon and peace. Ya Allah, you save me. Who's making dua? In Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, save me and save my progeny from the worship of idols. Subhanallah. The house of Tawheed. Ibrahim salatu wasalam, Ismail salatu wasalam, this is the house of Tawheed. But in the house of Tawheed also, the dua is still being made, Ya Allah, save us from shirk. وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Ya Allah, save me and my progeny from making ibadat of idols. Now we might think that we are, mashallah, super Muslims. Where do we can even imagine and make, even let such a thought pass our minds that I will worship idols any day? Allah Ta'ala save us and protect us from that. My children, Allah Ta'ala protect them as well. But let us at the same time look within ourselves. While on the one side, Allah Ta'ala has out of His grace and mercy, Alhamdulillah, Summa Alhamdulillah, saved us and protected us from worshipping some stone, worshipping some tree, worshipping some cow. And Allah Ta'ala blessed us with this greatest wealth of Iman. Alhamdulillah ala ni'matil Iman. Alhamdulillah ala ni'matil Islam. This is the greatest gift Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. But are there other idols lurking within us? We are not worshipping idols outside, are there idols within us? In the Quran Sharif Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen the person who has made his desires his deity? Somebody's desire is sport, that becomes like a deity to him. That will dictate if he will perform his salah or not. If there's some very crucial match carrying on, it'll become qaza also, well, one of those things. And if it gets performed, one of those things. So that has become like a deity. For somebody it might be business. For somebody it might be entertainment. For somebody something else. But this is also idols. Allah Ta'ala is saying, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. So this dua must be ongoing. وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Ya Allah, save me and my progeny from all the idols, external idols, internal idols. So this dua Ibrahim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is making, رَبِّ هَبْلِي مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Ya Allah, give me pious children. Make my children pious. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. Ya Allah, give me offspring that will become the coolness of my eyes. وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Ya Allah, make my children, make me the leader of the pious. There's a very important lesson that has been given in the, one is this lesson of dua, that we should be making dua, making a lot of dua, daily dua. Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Wahab Sha'arani rahmatullah alayhi, great pious personality of his time, he says that among the most effective aspects for tarbiyat and inculcating the right qualities in children doesn't mean that other things are not to be taken note of and adopted in terms of the practical measures, but the most effective thing is sincere and fervent dua, repeatedly repeated dua, especially in the times of acceptance between the azan and iqamat. The time of dua is being accepted. At the time of sunset, du'as are accepted. At the time of tahajjud is the most accepted time of du'a. And how many times I've heard this from parents, from fathers especially, that after they tried whatever to come to get things in line in terms of their children, where things were gone way out, and after some time, eventually the father comes and says that, Alhamdulillah, the du'a of tahajjud worked. He says, with this, whatever happened, any case, first time in my life, I got the tawfiq of making tahajjud for so many days. And everything else failed, but the dua of tahajjud worked. So this is something that we have to grab with both hands. The month of Ramadan, so Alhamdulillah, the least tahajjud is, the real tahajjud is the last one third of the night. But after Isha also, two rakats nafil, with the niyat of qiyamul layl, this is the entry level of tahajjud. This too is the basic level, inshallah we'll get the basic level. One is the I-10. The I-10 also will reach where the GTI will reach. The comfort might be different, the speed might be a little bit different. But the I-10 also can reach there. No problem. That too will get there, inshallah. So, but just as in dunya, everybody, when he's sitting in the I-10, he's looking at the GTI. Nobody's content with what he has. But somehow when it comes to deen, the person is performing 5 times salah, is looking at the one who's performing 4 times and saying, mashallah, look at me. And somebody's performing 4, then he's too looking at somebody performing 3 and saying, at least I'm making 4. Well, appreciate that. No worry about the other one. But dunya, you're all the time looking up. So deen too needs to be upgraded. Everything in dunya we are upgrading. We are upgrading our homes, we are upgrading our cars, we are upgrading our phones, we are upgrading everything. Deen also we have to keep upgrading. In any case, this lesson of dua, and together with this lesson of dua, in this particular dua is another lesson. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Saying, Ya Allah, make me an imam of the muttaqeen. So what does that make him? It makes him imamul muttaqeen, in the sense where He is the greatest muttaqi. He will become the leader of the pious. He'll be the greatest pious person. The lesson of leading by example. That we have to guide our children, but we have to lead by example. Sometimes some people, you hear them say that, listen to what I say, don't see what I do. Listen to what I say, but don't see what I do. But that doesn't work. Children, they forget what we say, and they remember what we do. What we say before they even finish saying it is already gone out of the other ear sometimes. And what we do, they see and remember. So if we are leading by example, from that formative years of the child, as he's growing up, he's seeing how his parents are conducting themselves, this becomes a lesson for him in life. And this is what he remembers. So this is the other lesson about dua. Then the fourth lesson, inshallah we'll wrap up on this fourth lesson, together with concern, together with having the right aspirations, together with dua, obviously is effort. There has to be a concerted effort. And Ibrahim a.s. made this kind of effort, where he made this effort on tawheed. He himself, inni bari'um mimma tushrikun, he declared his completely being absolved from any kind of shirk. Got nothing to do with any shirk. But then he made such an effort on tawheed, Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي أَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. He established this in his progeny as well. This effort. Now this effort is to be made on what? So primarily three things. It sums up everything. The first effort is the effort on iman. That we have to make effort on the iman of our children. What is the effort on iman? That the right aqaida in the child, and then he's connected to Allah Ta'ala. The love of Allah Ta'ala is instilled in the child, and his trust is built in Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas is a young boy, a young child, and he's riding with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the same conveyance. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is addressing him, Ya Ghulam u'allimuka kalimat. Oh young child, I'm going to teach you some things now. I'm teaching you some things. Listen carefully and understand this. Absorb this in your heart. احفظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكَ. You take care of the commands of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will take care of you. احفظِ اللَّهَ تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَكَ. You take care of the commands of Allah Ta'ala, you'll find Allah with you. When you want Allah's help, He'll be with you. When you need Allah Ta'ala, He'll be with you. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. Oh my young child, if you ask, you know, ask anything, ask from Allah Ta'ala. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. You seek any assistance, then seek assistance from Allah Ta'ala. Now this is iman being taught to the child, linking him to Allah Ta'ala. When the child has been linked to Allah Ta'ala, this is inevitable. One day everybody has to leave. Sometimes the father leaves first, sometimes the child leaves first. But the day the father is gone, this child is not feeling hopeless and despondent. He's been linked to Allah Ta'ala. Allah is ever living. Otherwise he feels that I've got nothing left in life. And one day we all have to go. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is linking him up to Allah Ta'ala. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ لَوِ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ قَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. If the whole of mankind gets together, now who is teaching? Not some adult, the child. He's teaching iman. If the whole ummah gets together and tries to benefit you in some way, they cannot benefit you except to the extent that Allah Ta'ala has written for you. وَإِنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوِ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. If they try to harm you in some way, everybody, the whole mankind gets together with all their hydrogen bombs and atom bombs and whatever bomb, and all their armory and their technology and everything. But the yaqeen in the heart is that they cannot harm you to one hair's breadth except to the extent that Allah Ta'ala has decreed. A young child is being taught iman. So to teach them iman and to link them to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala.
and to make their yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala. Then they will live a life that is in obedience to Allah Ta'ala. This is that very primary lesson. And the way to get them to be linked to Allah Ta'ala is to link them to the Ahlullah. Person wants to eat something. Hazrat Wala Hazrat Maha Shah Hakim Hazrat Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to say, kabab, walo se kabab milta hai. And a person, and he used to quote this from his Shaykh Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullah Alayhi, that kabab walo se kabab milta hai. That if a person wants to eat kebab, he'll go to the people who are selling kebab. And kapro walo se kapra milta hai. He goes to somebody who sells material and fabric, he'll get fabric from them. And Allah walo se Allah milta hai. The person goes in the company of the Ahlullah, this transfers from heart to heart. And Allah Ta'ala has kept His servants in every community. It's for us to seek them out. And to benefit from them. So the first thing is this effort on Iman. Together with this effort on Iman is effort on A'mal. Effort on A'mal, we discussed Salah. Together with that, all the various other A'mal. Time is already running out, just to wrap it up. Then all the other A'mal we have to make an effort on. We have to make it a part and parcel of the child's life. And then together with the effort on A'mal, the effort on Akhlaq. These are the three primary things. Effort on Iman, effort on A'mal, and effort on akhlaq. If we haven't taught our children akhlaq, then we have put them on a collision course. They'll be colliding with everyone. They'll be colliding in their marriages, they'll be colliding in their workplace, they'll be colliding with their relatives, they'll be colliding with their neighbors, they'll be colliding with anyone and everyone. It'll be a collision course. Because without akhlaq, then a person will keep making blunders of the worst kind and hurting people's feelings and trampling people's toes and doing all kinds of things that will keep bringing difficulties upon himself. And a person who has akhlaq in him, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi is teaching akhlaq to who? To a young child again. He's addressing Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, and he's saying to him, Ya Bunayya, O my young child, O my little child, what shafqat, what kind of compassion, what love, what muhabbat. This is the other lesson in it. That this is imparted by not giving orders. This is imparted by practical teaching and by expressing it and imparting it with love. O my beloved child, إِنْ قَدَرْتَ أَنْ تُصْبِحَ وَتُمْسِيَ وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌّ لِأَحَدْ فَفْعَلْ. O my beloved child, that if you can keep your heart clean of malice, if, meaning do this, saying, certainly do it. Why? فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِي. Don't have any malice for anybody. Have a clean heart. Oh, this is akhlaq. Akhlaq, there are certain things which are etiquette. To say please, and say thank you, and somebody now has come, so we'll say, mashallah, I'm very happy to see you. This is etiquette. Now this etiquette sometimes stems from akhlaq. So this akhlaq in the heart, so now this akhlaq is bringing about this good etiquette also. And sometimes it's just etiquette. So nothing to do with akhlaq. It's because now the person, others are doing it, he does it. Or people say, well, this is something to be done. But inside it's not there. It's just being done as a routine. Akhlaq, the real place of akhlaq is the heart. Now a person is dealing with everybody well. Why? Because his heart is clean. Now that is akhlaq. The other is a person dealing well with others. Why? Because he needs some favors from them. So he's also doing the same thing. But that's not out of akhlaq. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching akhlaq. Keep your heart clean, totally clean of any malice. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِهِ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to encourage him and to give him the direction. See, that is my way. That is my sunnah. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. The one who loves my sunnah will be with me in Jannah. Now can we imagine what a thing is being linked up? Cleanliness of the heart from malice and being with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Jannah. So this is that lesson Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving to a young child. So you have to make effort on Iman, on A'mal, and on Akhlaq primarily. This will encompass all the other things in it. And then one very important thing is engaging with our children. Engaging with them in that ayat of the Quran Sharif which deals with the aspect of Qurbani. with the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he is given the order, slaughter your son. So what does he come? What does he do? Come, grab him by the neck, drop him down. He engages him first. Inni ra'aytu fil manami anni azbahuk. Fanzur madha tara. I've seen this dream that I'm slaughtering you. What do you have to say? Now he's engaging him to prepare his mind, to make him ready for it. But this child again too is a child of a Nabi. He says, Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar. One side, the father will learn to engage our children. Make them understand. Teach it to them in a way that settles in their hearts. From the side of our children, the child, that to be ready to cooperate with our parents. What is the father saying to the son? I'm going to be slaughtering you. Say, Commander of Allah Ta'ala, I'm with you. I'll get slaughtered, no problem. This level of cooperation. There's another lengthy incident, time has already run out. I've been saying this for the past 10 minutes, but we still carrying on. In any case, we'll try and wrap it up now. Where Ibrahim alayhi salam, after Ismail alayhi salam got married, and he came on several occasions to this visit, Ismail salam wasn't there. He was gone out for some errand. So Ismail alayhi salam, in his absence, Ibrahim salam asked a lot of questions to the wife, to his son's wife, his daughter-in-law. She didn't know who is this person. Any case, when Ismail salam returned, first thing was he sensed that somebody was here, and he sensed like my father was here. Now this is a lengthy incident, just picking up on this point, that there should be that amount of rapport between father and son, that even the mere coming and going of the father in the absence of the son, he perceived it. My father was here. It should be that kind of relationship. But in any, the lesson for us as fathers, to engage our children, to make their minds, to make their zehen as we call it, and to guide them in that manner that they go along. And for children to cooperate in this, to be part of this lesson, because our parents have learned things which we'll only learn when we are there. One is that somebody is standing on the ground floor, he can see certain things. Another person is standing on the top, he is standing on the 10th floor. So now if the child, the son is standing on the ground floor, and he's telling him, look, don't go out of this gate now. So he's saying, but why mustn't I go out of this gate? I'm a human being, I'm a big person, I'm an adult now, and I can walk with my own 2 feet. Why should I be told all the time? He's saying, please don't go out. So now he says, I'll do what I want to do. The father is standing on the 10th floor, he can see beyond the boundary wall. He can see what's going on outside there. That there is this fierce dog roaming there. Or you can see whatever other harm is there. Because he's already on the 10th floor. And now the person who's on the ground floor, the boundary wall is in front of him still. He'll have to climb the steps. From top he'll be able to see also. So sometimes it is possible to get an explanation. Sometimes it is possible to get an explanation that there's a dog there. Sometimes it's difficult to explain it in words. That what is the harm in walking out there. Sometimes you'll have to just accept it, that my parents have said something that's for me. Inshallah, when I'm standing on the 10th floor, I'll also see it. So in this way, we will get saved from so many things that could lead us to so many difficulties, hardships. But at the same time, if supposing it was the error of our parents, we didn't lose out in any way, inshallah. We gained by being obedient to them. We gained tremendously in obedience to our parents. And anybody who wants to succeed in life, then among other things, one very great thing is the obedience to parents. To the extent that if a person is not punctual in deen, then he's going to have to, that is wrong, he'll face the consequences of that. But people who are very, very greatly in service to their parents, a lot of khidmat, they're obedient to them, obviously within the limits of deen, not in something that deen doesn't allow. And this has been generally seen, that they prospered in dunya also. If they didn't fulfill the obligations of deen, then that's a bad thing. There are going to be problems in akhirat. But service to parents brought prosperity in deen, in dunya. And I'll finish up on one incident. One alim from Madina Munawara, he had come to South Africa about 5-6 years ago. Actually in 2011, 4 years ago. So we met up and we were just talking something, and he was leaving, it was this part of the year, about a month or so before Hajj, and he was supposed to return back to Madina Munawwara and go for Hajj. So on that note, as that came up, we said, well, going for Hajj, and then he said, just again, today somebody asked me how many Hajj I performed. So he said, well, I explained to him, I made 46 Hajj. So he said, 46 Hajj? He says, you heard that when the call was made for Hajj, all these souls in Alam-e Arwah, they said Labbaik. So the soul that said Labbaik once, will go for Hajj once. Whichever soul said Labbaik. Some said Labbaik twice, they'll go twice. You see, it seems like your soul never stops saying Labbaik. 46 Hajj you made? So he said, well, that is it. But he says, in my, then he said, I explained to the person, in my heart and mind, there is another reason for it also. So another reason, what's the reason? So it's a lengthy incident, just to cut it down. He says he was in a rural area, living in a rural area in Pakistan. And he was still a young boy. His mother got very ill. She got bedridden. And he, maximum time he spent at her bedside, taking care of whatever she needed. She had become even dependent on somebody helping her to turn, just to turn from side to side. Also, she needed help. And he says she remained bedridden like this for a couple of years. Several years. And he says, over this time, I carried on making her khidmat. Now imagine a young boy, so many aspirations. He wants to run around here, there, do this and that and the other. And he's here at the bedside of his mother making khidmat. And he says, eventually she passed away. But he says, while I used to make this khidmat, every now and again, when I used to do something for her, then at that time she used to give me one dua. And the dua she used to give me was, Allah Ta'ala tujhko hajj karaye. Allah Ta'ala Allah Ta'ala enable you to perform Hajj. I said, I at that time, living in a rural area of Pakistan, in a poor family, in that time now, he already had made 46 Hajj, so we're talking about 50 years ago, sorry. At that time, from a whole city, 2-3 people would go for Hajj. Nowadays, you don't even know, sometimes when you see the person already back, he says, I already came away. I went and came. You don't even know who went and when they went. So those days, one person would go in a rural area, poor people, in years one person would go. So he says, this was something that was furthest away that this can ever happen in my life. He says, I never ever gave any thought to it. Something happened, things worked out, she finally passed away. He then became an alim, and something worked out for him, and he emigrated to Madina Munawwara. Just cutting it to the finer points. In any case, he says, when he came to Madina Munawwara, he was now a resident there. So it became very easy, every year he was going for Hajj. The year before he came to South Africa, one year before that, he was gone to Pakistan to visit his family, relatives and so on. And it was already now about 6-7 weeks before Hajj, and he met in a serious accident. Car accident, and his foot and good part of his leg was burned badly. He ended up in hospital for a couple of weeks. Eventually, he only managed to travel because of his condition. He managed to travel from Pakistan and come back to Madina Munawwara one day before the Hajis were leaving for Hajj. So in other words, he came on the 7th of Zulhijjah. He landed in Madina Munawwara from Pakistan. And when he landed there, so he had that for that year now. Continuously, he's been making Hajj for 42 years or so. On that year, he had already decided impossible. This year is now ruled out. He says he landed in Madina Munawwara, and his daughter was also living there. So he came to her house, and he just settled down. And a short while later, one of his students phones. So asked for him, so finally he took the call. So his student says to him that, are you not going for Hajj? Because he knew every year he goes for Hajj. So he told him, going for Hajj, I've just landed now, hardly 1 hour ago. I've come home now only after going so long to Pakistan. Barely 1 hour I'm in the house now. And this is my condition. My leg is in plaster. I can't even walk properly. I'm in a wheelchair. And you're talking about Hajj. She said, no, don't worry. I'm coming. I've got my own wheelchair also. I've got my own ihram towels for you also. I'm coming. So he says, all that in his place. What about the document that I'll have to still make for that permission? Though he's there as a resident, but because he's not a citizen, he also needs some document, whatever. And that document, that office of it is already closed. That document takes 1 week to process. He says, the student replied and said, I already got yours done 1 week ago. I have that document also. I've got my wheelchair. You don't worry about anything. You get ready and you come down. You're at some building. I'm coming in 1 hour's time to fetch you. He says 1 hour's time he came and fetched him. He took him in his car and went, did all the rites of Hajj on the wheelchair, etc. He made his khidmat throughout. And eventually after Hajj brought him and left him back at his door. He says, the year I wrote it out, even that year Allah Ta'ala made me make that Hajj, and I attribute it to the dua of my mother. That every now and again, I lost count how many times she made dua for me, but every now and again, every few days, whenever I would make some khidmat sometimes, on that particular occasion, she would give me the same dua. That dua came. So really, we will not know what is the depth of that dua of our parents. As I've said, sometimes, they can err also. They are insan, they may err. But that becomes our test. We have to pass in our test. Their test, they are accountable to Allah Ta'ala. We are accountable for ourselves. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala enable us to fulfill all our obligations of deen, all our responsibilities that Allah Ta'ala has placed upon us. Allah Ta'ala make us who are fathers, fathers in reality who give the correct nurturing and tarbiyah to our children. Those of us who are children, Allah Ta'ala enable us to fulfill our role and be of service to our parents, be obedient to them in all things which are within the framework of Shariat and deen. And in this way we will earn the barakat in dunya also, and we'll get the everlasting bounties of akhirat as well. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka alshukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayk. Anta kama asmayta ala nafsik. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. Rabbana ghalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Rabbi ighfir warham. واعفو وتكرم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت العز الأكرم. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين، والحمد لله.